Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Adani Green Energy Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tanvi. On behalf of DAM Capital, we welcome everyone to Adani Green Energy Q2 FY23 earnings conference call. Let me introduce the participants from Adani Green on this call. We have Mr. Vineet Jain, MD and CEO, Mr. Kaushal Shah, who has been the CFO at Adani Green for last 2 years and will now be taking up new responsibilities within the group, Mr. Phoonsok Wanghyal, who is now going to take up the responsibilities as the new CFO at Adani Green. Also, we have Mr. Rajkumar Jain, Head Business Development, and Mr. Viral Rao, Lead Investor Relations. Let me hand over the call to Mr. Kaushal Shah for opening remarks, which will be followed by Q&A. Over to you, sir.
This is the operator here. Management members, we are not able to hear you. Please unmute your line.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, now.
Yes, we can.
Good morning, everyone. Mohit, thank you for introducing. Primarily, the news, you all are aware that we have Mr. Phoonsok Wanghyal, very experienced guy in this sector. He was with the ENGIE India and has a, you know, great experience on the various fronts. He will be taking over as the CFO of Adani Green, and I will be moving to some responsibility in the group. Thank you for joining this call, and warm welcome to all of you for this earnings call for the half year ended 30th September. We have already uploaded the earnings presentation on the website, and we hope that you would have sufficient time to go through the same. Let me walk through the, you know, the key highlights and the recent updates. On a year-on-year basis, the operational capacity has increased by 24% to 6,724 MW in the first half of FY23. Over and above, there is a partial commission capacity of 948 MW. That in a due course will be announced as a COD. AGL has developed India's first and world's largest solar wind hybrid power cluster with a capacity of 990 MW in Rajasthan. Further commissioned the largest wind plant in Madhya Pradesh with a capacity of 325 MW. This hybrid project is, you know, we are the first in the country to do this, and we have completed in time. Now, I shall brief you on some of the important achievement on the ESG front before I take over the operational matter. AGL has achieved Sustainalytics ESG risk rating of low risk with a score of  14.6, which is the best among the key large global peers, and significantly better than the global industry average of 33.5. As we keep telling every time that the group is focusing both on the, you know, the environment, social and also on the best of the government practices, and this is one of the results of the same. AGL has won CII's Climate Action Program, CAP 2.0, which is committed award. As you all are aware that all our, you know, the operating plant is now already plastic free. In line with our commitment of various things for, you know, to be plastic free by 2024, but we have started already achieving this in the current year. There is a set processes already there. Now let me brief you about the operational and financial performance. So solar portfolio, as you are aware, that improved by 110 basis points year-on-year to 24.3%. And this is because of the integration of the high-quality SB Energy portfolio, as well as high plant and more than 99%. Similarly, you know, green portfolio, this is barring one-off issue we had. You know, there is a 41% wind CUF which was there. So this is again a great achievement as far as the, you know, the CUF and the availability is concerned. And this is the result of the, you know, continuous use of the new technology as we are implementing new projects. The newly commissioned hybrid projects which are there, which has deployed bifacial PV modules and horizontal single axis tracking technologically to capture maximum energy. And this has, you know, yielded almost 37% of, you know, the CUF. Now, this is in the just beginning. We are just implementing in last 3-4 months. So, and the grid availability always is 99%. We keep continue telling that the focus is that, you know, the, all the projects are connected through the ENOC, and we extensively use the AI and ML to improve our, you know, the availability and CUF both, as the, you know, we can monitor online all the plants sitting here at the headquarters in Ahmedabad. So some of you, when you visit Ahmedabad, you know, please let us know. We can show you live that this is an, you know, world-class facility which we have created here. Sale of energy has increased by 67% to 6618 million units. In this quarter, and then the revenue from the power supply has also increased by 45%. Cash profit has increased by 49% to almost close to 1300 crores. One of the important events which has happened in this quarter is, you know, Adani Green has received the favorable order from APTEL for 288 megawatt of solar plants at Kamuthi. Now, you know, the tariff, which originally was 7 rupees 1 paise, which they were giving us at 5 rupees 40 paise, now 5 rupees 10 paisa. So that is a difference of 568 crores as a, you know, the past accrued income, and then recurring we will be having 90 crores. Just for the knowledge, this is an upside we have not yet accounted in the books. You know, DISCOM may go to the appeal. So as a conservative practice, we have not accounted, but we are very confident that, you know, we will get the favorable orders even if they go on the next level. So that's the thing. Couple of questions which are normally coming is that, you know, since the hybrid projects were commissioned in a partial manner, we also have generated interim power revenue of 1312 crore in this first half. Now, this is not part of my P&L. So, friends, cash flow is already available with us, but this will reduce my CapEx. So that is the next update I want to give. Another important development is on the receivable front. You know, during first half, we have received almost 700 plus crore from Tamil Nadu and Telangana. And, you know, we are absolutely now more or less current on the receivable front. And this has also improved the cash flow. The interest rate front also, you know, some of the questions are coming that what is the impact. So almost 76% of our portfolio is fixed currently. 11% of another portfolio, which is greenfield, where we have a 2-3 year cycle where there is no impact and it will be fixed. So remaining 11% will be the, you know, the variable, whereby, you know, the original rate was 8.5%, which is now 9%. So on and all, you know, there is no material impact as far as the, you know, the increase in the interest environment. So this is all from my side. You know, I'm happy to take a questions. Funsok is also there with me on the call. So, you know, and Vinitji and Raj Kumar Jain are also there. So, over to you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may enter star and one to ask a question at this moment. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Lavina Quadras from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
To understand, what are the challenges are you seeing today in terms of your capacity ramp-up plans? I mean, I know you'll have enough land, but let's say, is it module acquisition strategy because your earnings growth ahead depends on that? So just want to understand, is there any specific challenges you're facing today? Thanks.
So I think there are some grid-related delays which we have seen, which has moved some of the CODs or commissioning by a few months or in some cases by a couple of quarters, which has led to a different COD profile than what we had earlier estimated. And that is where Mr. Kaushalbhai just indicated that we also have additional capacities which has been commissioned technically, but we are unable to do the COD. So some of this will fade away in terms of the COD capacities which we will achieve in the near term. So that's one part of the growth profile which you see. Second, yes, the next level of capacities which we see would more come towards the mid to end of next financial year in terms of our execution plan. So you would see a significant ramp up at that point in time in our COD / commissioning of a lot of capacity. We are more or less, I would say, very comfortable on our procurement strategy for solar modules because we have a lot of PPAs where all of this is, whatever duties are there, such in, are there in general law. The last 1 year increase in the, one and a half year increase in the module prices has not impacted us much because of our long-term strategy of procurement. So we are comfortable on that part. It is largely, I would say, some quarter here and there just because of the way transmission system builds up in India.
Okay, so mainly constrained by transmission versus any specific issues on the generation side, if I understand.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. So in nutshell, you would say it is the transmission system availability and within that also the completeness of the entire system which has impacted we announcing the COD and which has not impacted us in terms of revenue because that in that case becomes an informed revenue and goes in the project cost. So no adverse impact on us, but yes, in terms of a headline number, yes, you are right that we had to push certain capacity by a couple of quarters in terms of our legal CODs.
Understood. So and lastly, this whole green energy open access, the revised norms that have come up, how are you all looking at it? And, you know, what is the way forward? Are states actually implementing it? Or what's the update there mainly? Thank you.
Yeah, sure. So it's a very good initiative by Government of India and it is something which was required for achieving the next level of growth in the green energy adoption by the country. So opening that for the private sector really helps. So you would see that a lot of new plants would be set up at the centralized ISTS-based plants and those in turn through this green energy open access would supply to the consumers. Now, state would adopt it because this has come in very recently, 2 or 3 months. We have seen that some of the states are adopting it. Even today, there is no restrictions per se for doing catering to a demand of up to 1 megawatt plus. So until then, there is no regulatory restrictions. We can straight away go and do it. Some of the procedural things are being done, evolved, like the portals are being created and all of that is happening. So this will help significantly in decarbonizing the industry, and we see elevated inquiries from our industry partners to make them green. We are also looking at multiple opportunities within our own ecosystem to make that green. So this is a very welcome step towards growing the India's green footprint.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one on your touchtone telephone now. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, recently, Aptel passed a judgment that you'll be able to charge 7.01 as tariff. So you have also booked a gain of 5.7. So is there any interest component on it? And when do we expect that you'll start booking the revenue?
So, yes, you're right that Aptel has given this judgment in our favor, rightly so. As a conservative policy, we have not recognized any revenues or incomes unless and until we see finality. In this case, we are expecting that since the amount is large enough for the DISCOM, they are planning to go to Supreme Court under the appeal. But we don't see a merit in that case, so we believe that there will be an early disposition of the same in the Supreme Court, and once that happens, we'll be able to recognize revenue along with the interest, because the interest is due as per the PPA to us, and so that will come to us.
Understood, sir. So this 7.01 tariff will be applicable to the entire power plant, right?
Yes, yes. The entire 648 megawatt will now move to 7.01. There were already more than 300 plus megawatt, which was already at 7.01. This takes the balance also to 7.01.
Understood. And so, has the Tamil Nadu government opted for liquidity scheme, and has our receivables reduced because of it?
No, they have not opted for the, you know, the receivable scheme. But what we understand is,
they have opted for the scheme, and if you see in our case also, we got, you know, a lot of, you know, the revenue and the liquidity, you know, has come to us also. So in the nutshell, yes, they have opted for this.
Okay, and we have been a beneficiary as well.
Yeah. So the good part is that we could receive a significant amount of our receivables liquidated even prior to adoption of this scheme. So the amount going into this scheme are lower in our case. And within that also, they have adopted the scheme. So for us, it has become a really good scheme that they have done this.
Okay, sir. So, a last question I have. Our wind portfolio, the PLF for the wind portfolio has reduced substantially in this quarter as compared to YOY, and a similar trend has been observed in certain other companies as well. So can we just say that the wind season hasn't been that good?
So, you know, in our case, one specific case was there, which was 150 megawatt of our capacity was down because of certain events. And which led to our machines not running for that 150 megawatts. If we take out that, the wind season has been significantly better than the last year. And this has been on an improving trend, and those are also reflected in our picture. The initial part of our brief mentioned that we have been able to achieve 41% CUF excluding this particular event. This 150 megawatt we have resolved substantially. There are still some issues, but we are working to fix that.
Understood, sir. So, that's all from my side. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Apurva Bahadur from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So I wanted to understand with you on this CNI opportunity. Do you intend to serve this out of Adani Green, or will it be housed in ANIL, which is more for industrial decarbonization?
See, the generating arm for this particular piece of the energy transition is AGEL. Anything which comes in this space would be within AGEL. ANIL is largely focusing on green hydrogen and ecosystem around it.
Okay, okay. So the bank business opens up basically. And have we done any tie-ups as of now in this space?
We are working extensively on that. There are few things which are on the verge of closure, so we will probably make declarations as the event comes.
Fair enough. So next question is on our pump hydro foray. So we have signed a couple of MOUs, I think, over the last few quarters. So wanted to check if we have sort of finalized the business plans over there, what type of capex and the timelines.
So, yes, you're right. We have been looking at this particular space very rigorously, and because we believe this is an important space from the perspective of energy transition in the country and as more and more renewables are integrated. So we have signed MOUs. We are working on finalizing the investment plans around those MOUs and would be kick-starting the execution. The moment we reach to that stage, we would obviously make relevant announcements.
Fair enough. So next question is on this green bond framework, which was recently notified by the government. Do you foresee this having any material impact in the cost of debt for green projects generally across India and specifically for AGEL?
So as you are aware that, you know, most of the new institution and there is a specific funds dedicated on this particular green bond. So we see that the, you know, the cost of borrowing will have a saving of at least 75 bps to, you know, 100 bps.
That's quite significant. And so that will be completely passed through to the players.
Correct.
And sir, any idea on the tenure of these bonds? For how long a duration will they be issued?
So typically, you know, this can be in the range of around 7 years to 10 years.
Okay, and the onus of refinancing for this lies on the government?
Yes.
Very interesting. So lastly, I think we have seen your carbon credit income growing over the last few quarters. So, and I believe the company is also sort of setting up some sort of a fund or exchange on exploring the business further. So if you can throw some light on your plans over here and where do you see this revenue on a fully built out portfolio built out basis, say 20 gigawatts?
Yeah, sure. So this has emerged as one of the key contributors to our revenue in the recent past. As you would understand, this is something which is more a global phenomena where a lot of players globally are looking for offset credits, and that's where this has happened. This is becoming a key focus area for us. We believe that based on various assumptions you take, we can probably have on a fully built house basis close to $50 million to $260 million of revenue every year. But you would expect that this is based on multiple assumptions, and these assumptions have moved in a multiple directions in the last few years.
So I take your point. Then one last question, if I may, and this is on the revenue from sale of infirm power, right? We have been, I mean, commendably been able to sell some power, at least till the transmission systems are not ready and the plant is not fully commissioned. But just wanted to understand, how are we doing this? As in, because a lot of our competitors actually struggle in securing open access for transmission, especially for plants which have not been commissioned yet. So what does Adani Green as an institution, as a practice, does differently to ensure that its infirm power gets absorbed by the grid?
So, yeah, sure. So I'm unable to talk about the competition, but at the same time, we monitor the open access elements which are relevant for evacuation of our power. and ensure that our plants are not stranded even if some of the elements are not yet there. So if there are five elements, four elements are there or three elements are there, we are able to evacuate. So we plan our projects accordingly and able to take this this benefit in our company, which I'm not sure why the competition is not able to foresee, but yes, we have been able to ensure that we don't have stranded plants at the same time gain money.
Great. Thank you so much. All the very best.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Nigania from AllianceBernstein. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. My first question is on the 150 megawatt asset, which was stranded this quarter. So wanted to understand if that is classified as a force majeure. So would the lost revenue be recovered from the discounts?
Force majeure does not entitle recovery from DISCOM. It is a it is something whereby our performance is excused under the contract. So that's the construct of force majeure in India, and so is the case in this PPA. So yes, it is a one-time loss for us, to be very clear. Obviously, we have some contractual, I would say, recourse, but that if whenever it comes, we are pursuing that. If at all we can recover from vendors, that's what we will see, but not with the counterparty. So that's what it is.
Understood. My second question was on the capacity guidance. So operational capacity has risen this quarter. The guidance given in the previous call was 9 gigawatt, close to 9 gigawatt operating capacity by the end of the financial year. Given the slowdown which was highlighted in the call earlier, and even in terms of cash flows, we can see, you know, CapEx cash flows are lower than last year. So does the guidance still hold of 9 gigawatt operating capacity by the end of the financial year?
Well, I think, you know, last time also we have said in the call very clearly that it will be in the range of 8.3 to 8.5, depending on, you know, as highlighted in the earlier remarks that, you know, availability of the transmission line, other stuffs. So maybe legal COD may not be there, but we are expecting that the year end should be in the range of around 8,300 to 8,500.
Understood. Thank you. My other question was on the dollar bond. So as we can see for many years, including competition as well as for Adani Green, the dollar bond yields have shot up recently, especially the holdco bond of Adani Green are at yields. They have crossed more than 20% now back in the mid-teens. So what is, and two of the bonds are maturing in 2024. So what are the plans to refinance them at this point, given the dollar yields are so high, so the dollar market might be shut from that perspective?
So it's a good question. So first of all, let me just tell you that as per our internal FCFE working and other stuffs, even if in a worst scenario, you know, if we are not able to refinance because of the increased rate scenario, you know, we will be able to repay out of our own balance lying with the company. So there is no issue or discussion on that. The second thing what we have done, if you recollect that in airport also when the yield was around 9%, we could close in the private market at 6%. So, you know, we have an enough and more bandwidth available to make sure that the refinance is fully available to us. But in a worst scenario, the FCFE component and the other stuffs which we are planning, you know, we will be able to do that. And then the backup plan also, that if you look at RG1, we have recently did this, you know, only 700 crores, which is 100 million close to from the domestic banks. So similarly, we will be able to do it. But our idea is to align with the life of the assets. So that's where our first preference will be to go for the dollar bond. Having said that, that option is not available, then we will access the domestic market, whereby 3 to 5 year, you know, the funding is easily available. So that's not a challenge.
So just one follow-up question on that. Then to reach the pipeline of 20 gigawatts, do we see the existing balance sheet plus future cash flows from operating assets sufficient to meet without need for raising further equity?
Yes, currently, you know, if you look at, as we have a plan that, you know, every year we will be having roughly 4 gigawatts, 3.5 to 4 gigawatts, which we are going to add, will generate enough free cash flow for us to, you know, to fund the entire thing. So we don't see the immediate or any requirement of the, you know, the equity issuance. You know, we already did one tranche with the ISC in April, whereby we already raised $500 million. So, as of now, based on our current internal estimates, we don't see this requirement coming up.
That's helpful, sir. Sir, one last question from my side. The market for utilities in general and renewables specifically, it's not favorable in the sense that interest rates have risen, dollar has strengthened, project costs have gone up, whereas the tariff is locked in the pipeline PPA. The returns for projects, especially the big manufacturing linked PPA, what is the impact which you're foreseeing in your equity IRR when you bid versus now when you look to execute that project?
Yeah, sure. So that's a very, very valid question and important question to answer. You know, that's where the discipline comes into the picture. We never bid based on an aggressive market. When there were certain money which was available at a low cost post-COVID liquidity boost, we never used those assumptions when we bid for it. We look at our own long-term interest rate trends. And based on that, we do the bidding. So we have been able to tackle that question very well in our portfolio. And even today, from the interest rate perspective, we have very healthy IRR. At the same time, to augment that returns, we have been extensively using the LCs to further reduce the short-term cost of capital. So that, again, we are doing. So that's on the interest part. On the rupee part and the currency part, so what has further helped us, say specifically in the case of manufacturing tender, which we did 2 years back or 2.5 years back, the technological advantages which we have been able to tap, which is today the bifacial modules, today the horizontal single axis trackers, the watt peaks going higher significantly, all of that has been able to significantly offset in certain cost increases which you have seen on the finance side, on the rupee, dollar, and some of these things. Obviously, you know very well that any kind of a GST or BCD which has increased after that, those are already a pass-through. So we have not seen any kind of a meaningful deterioration in our equity IRRs than what we envisaged when we looked at that investment decision. And obviously, we are going ahead with all those project implementations. So you would see some of the manufacturing linked projects getting commissioned in the next financial year.
Got it, Anshu. Thanks for answering my question.
Thank you. Participants, if you have any questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Chaitra from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so my first question is, what is the current run rate EBITDA for our portfolio? And the second question is, how is the bidding pipeline looking at this point in time, and has there been a slowdown in the bidding?
So, you know, the run rate EBITDA for the current operational portfolio will be in the range of around 7,000 crores. So that is my run rate EBITDA. And if you look at my net debt to EBITDA, now that again is a big thing which, you know, all of you should know that, you know, there is always a question which is coming up. But with the new things which has come up as an equity from the ISC, this has, as on September as we see, you know, this has come down to 5.83. which was 6.53 in March. So, you know, the cash is also available with us, sufficient in the business. And from that perspective, we are very much covered within the range of 6.5, which is the, you know, the covenant prescribed by the rating agency, which is actually 7.5, but we are currently for September, it is 5.83, but year end, we are expecting that, you know, it will be around 6.25.
Yeah. So on the second question of the bidding pipeline, there has been some lag just because obviously the tariffs in the market has gone up a bit than what it was in past. So there has been some lag or I would say slowdown in the bidding. But at the same time, this is something which happens where some policy transition happens. So in case of post-April, there has been a policy transition with respect to imposition of BCD and also the macroeconomic fundamentals with respect to USD INR as well as interest rates. That has also reduced some interest from the bidders as well as the tariffs going higher has reduced some demand from the DISCOM. So that has reflected into the bids. But I think it is we have seen that cycle multiple times in last 7-8 years since the time bidding has started in the renewable space. So we should see a transition back to normalcy after some times once the psychological question of tariffs going higher actually gets resolved in the mind of consumers, or the cost goes down. So it is expected that potentially that the solar module prices should start tapering now onwards.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharani Vijay Kumar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my first question is, what is the rate at which we are selling this infirm power? Is it in the short-term market, in the exchanges that we are selling this?
So it depends. It depends within the framework within which we get this opportunity. In some cases, it gets sold to the same counterparties, which are my PPA counterparties. In some cases, it could be in exchange. It depends on the particular perspective. So I think in terms of an average rate, you can send a question and I think the team can respond back to you. But this
that
is how
normally
it
normally is at the spot rate available at that particular point of time. We don't have that offhand available. Amount we have already shared with you.
Okay, understood. Second question is there any policy level help or from the government specifically for the solar projects in terms of extending the commissioning dates, etc., being thought about at the government level?
So there are multiple considerations, and you saw an article coming in the recent news media where the Honorable Minister has quoted that they are looking for some kind of a consideration. But we have not yet seen any kind of a crystal notification or something. So obviously, based on that article, you can say that there is some consideration of extending things just because of some of the recent harshness you have seen being seen by the developers.
Understood. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
The
next question is from the line of Apurva Bahadur from Investec India. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again. So very curious about your module sourcing strategy. So how do you approach this? How do you plan for sourcing modules? Is it based on the project that you have already won, or do you have like a long-term running commitment?
So we have tie-ups with today the largest producer of solar modules in the world, and those are relationships which we cherish just because we have built those relationships over a period of time, and there is the highest most connect available there. So with that thing, we are able to have long-term contracts where we get the most favorable rates in the market.
from them and the best technology which they would be doing. So that we ensure. Now, in terms of your question around what do we do for sourcing, obviously we do not necessarily buy modules where we don't have the clarity of the PPAs or the revenue offtake on them. We do things where we know that what all projects which we are going to do over the next 2 years. But within that, we can tell you that we plan for 5 years in advance in our business planning, and we exactly know what all projects would come in the next 2 years, with some months here and there, but we are very much clear on what is happening. So that gives us significant advantage in terms of our discussions with the vendors, which are our preferred vendors.
And so the pricing, how often is it reset? Now, why I'm asking is this, there's a possibility that the solar module prices might correct in the near future. And I mean, a linked question to that would also be, where do you see the module prices, say, 6 months or a year from now?
So to answer that, I can tell you that we get one of the best pricing in the market. That I can assure you, and that has been the case in the last 5 to 6 years, even in the worst of the times when the markets were moving up very rapidly. We have been able to get the best prices. Even when the prices were falling, we were able to get one of the best prices in the industry. So that we have ensured based on our relationship with some of these players. Module prices going forward, it is anyone's guess. As of now, market is expecting a meaningful correction. You can see PV InfoLink forecast or some other forecasts which are available. Some of these forecasts are talking about 10 to 15% correction sometime next year. So let us see how it plays out.
Fair enough. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Bochalla from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. So the carbon credit revenue of 149 crores, is it fair to assume this would include the accumulated carbon credits, or this is particularly for this quarter generation?
No, no. It doesn't work that way. There is something called a crediting period, which we exercise for various projects once we have some accumulation. But since it is more a regular phenomena and it goes from one project to another project to another project, so the crediting is more or less regular. It is difficult to say quarter on quarter we will have the same number, but we will be able to have a pretty steady run rate over a year's period. Crediting happens for a particular project for a year's worth of generation. But since we have so many projects, we do some kind of spread of that over the year, and so that we do not necessarily see ups and downs too much. But again, let's not see it on a quarter-on-quarter basis, because it does not run that way.
Okay. And just to get some sense on the absolute numbers will not make sense, but on a per unit basis, is there any benchmark that one can look at when one is looking at the carbon credit income? And because you said this is rolling, so it will not flow quarter on quarter, but on an annual basis, probably that will come through.
So the market has been very volatile. We have seen in the last 15 months, or 16 months, the numbers ranging from $4 to as high as $8, going back to $5.50 or something of that range. And our average has been above 5. In terms of math, whatever I generate multiplied by 0.93 divided by 1,000 is one carbon credit.
Generation into 0.93 divided by 1,000 is one carbon credit, which is effective for you. The average, at least in past, was about $5.
Yeah, and see, again, even this 0.93 moves, it is not constant project on project, but yeah, on an average, 0.93, 0.935 is what you use.
Got it. That's helpful. Sure, sir. The second question was the EBITDA run rate that you mentioned, about 7,000 odd crores, that is for the projects which is for the 6724 megawatt project, which is already commissioned, and does it also include the 900 odd, which is partially almost commissioned?
No. This is legal COD, which we have already announced, 6724, and then we have another 948 is partially commissioned. So for us, we are already at 7672 megawatt.
Got it. So this, when you say 7,000 megawatt, 7,000 crores of EBITDA run rate, that is for the including the projects which are partially commissioned.
Yes.
Got it. Sure. And so the last thing is, in your PPT on slide number, just one second, on slide number 19, you give the operational debt, the gross debt for operational projects. Just wanted a clarity, does this debt also include the acquisition debt that you would have paid, say for example for SoftBank, you might have paid some premium. So does it include even that, or that's part of the other portion?
No, that premium or whatever we have, the acquisition cost has a different treatment. Here, whatever is the date of the operational assets which we acquired will be part of these numbers.
Okay, so the debt specific to that projects are included in the operational
project. Correct.
Perfect. Sure, so that makes sense. Thank you so much, and all the best. Thanks.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
So thank you so much on behalf of Adani team. Thank you for patiently hearing. If you have any further questions, you can contact Funsoc now, to me as well. I am with the group only, and then to Viral, which is leading our investor relation efforts. So welcome and thanks to everyone. Be safe. Take care.
Thank you.
On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.